Good morning to you. Welcome to the Law Matters program for another fortnight. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour and going to be bringing you some information today on human rights, special focus on human rights. A couple of events coming up during May, specifically throughout Law Week, which is the 16th to 20th of May that we want to let you know about. And if you're in Perth, there's certainly a couple of events that I'm sure that will interest you in coming along to. Also today, talking about the 10th session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, which is going to be on in New York between the 16th and the 27th of May. Tammy Solonek from the ALS is going to be joining us to talk about that. She's actually heading over to New York to attend the forum, was there last year as well. So we'll find out what actually happens at these two-week forums and how it brings international delegates together from all over the world and find out what they discuss and what happens with that information. Also, the ALS elections we've been promoting here on the program, they're going to take place later this month, and we want to let you know where you can vote, who your local candidates are, and any other information that might be of use to you. So stay tuned later in the program, all of the information on the ALS elections and who the candidates are. But to start off, I would like to welcome to the program Sarani Gamble. Sarani works with the ALS Law and Advocacy Unit. She's our human rights solicitor. How are you going, Sarani?
I'm well, thanks, Jodie.
I'll turn your microphone up a little bit. A busy time.
Always busy, Jodie.
Always busy. Sarani, I'll just get you to move your microphone up a little bit and then we can hear you better.
How's that?
That's much better. May is Law Week. Fantastic that the Aboriginal Legal Service is getting involved in Law Week. Part of the official program of events that are happening, following on from the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody 20 years on, that happened on the 15th of April, a big event planned for Perth.
Yeah, that's right, Jodie. We have really put the Royal Commission and the 20-year commemoration at the front of our agenda in a range of community events and reform that we're seeking this year generally. So Law Week was a great opportunity for us to get some community people involved and raise awareness about what has been going on in the ALS, and also to reflect on how the Royal Commission came about and came into being. We've got a special guest speaker, Helen Corbett, who was one of the original members who was calling for the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. And Helen's our keynote speaker for that seminar. Just to give you a bit of background about Helen, she's not only a former CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service, she was the co-founder and chair of the National Committee to Defend Black Rights, which was a national body of Aboriginal families who had lost relatives in the Australian justice system. Helen's got a background working with Amnesty and the Aboriginal community to put these issues on the national agenda, and was successful in getting their primary goal of a Royal Commission. So she's been working with us to identify a few key families and figures that we should be inviting to the seminar, and a way for us to sort of facilitate discussion about, you know, where we've gone in the last 20 years, you know, looking back at that people's campaign that they really established in the 80s, to what sort of community initiatives are occurring now. As people probably know, the ALS has been involved in deaths in custody, and just recently on the 15th of April was working with the Deaths in Custody Committee to have a protest rally commemorating the anniversary on the 15th of April. So there's a lot of things that have been going on publicly and privately that we want to discuss a bit more openly with members of the community to put the spotlight on this issue again.
Now, we should let people know that Law Week is from the 16th to 20th of May. The theme this year is Law and Justice in Your Community, and Law Week is actually an annual program of events that's coordinated by the Law Society of WA to highlight law and justice in our community. And throughout the week, if you go to the Law Society of WA website, you'll see the whole program of events, and it includes, you know, things like free legal advice, court tours, seminars, and lots more. And I think it's really timely that, with the theme being law and justice in our community, that we're looking and focusing on the Royal Commission and keeping a very strong focus there. Ali Corbett, known to many, many people, not just in WA but throughout the country, and has also, you know, played a pretty key role internationally in drawing attention to human rights issues here in Australia.
Yeah, that's right. So she's really the perfect person to bring all that wealth of experience back down to what's going on here in Perth, and to really reflect on what's been happening and where we can move forward towards.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of community interest in wanting to come along to this seminar, which is going to be on Wednesday, the 18th of May, starting at midday at the ALS in Perth. Tell us more about the format of the seminar. It is free as well, isn't it?
It's a free seminar. At this stage, you know, we're going to put some lunch on. We're hoping people can arrive by 12, settle in, have a feed, do a little bit of mingling with people that are there. And then Ali's going to be the keynote speaker and give an address, which will probably go for about half an hour to 45 minutes. And then we'll have some general discussion and an opportunity for some questions about where this is all going and of course, about Ali's experience as well. So it'll be, you know, depending on the numbers that we get in, but you know, we're really keen to have people there and involved and able to have a say and really looking at where things can move forward for Aboriginal involvement in these sorts of issues in the future.
So Rani, the Law and Advocacy Unit at the ALS has been really strongly focusing on holding public seminars, workshops, bringing different groups together, working with HALO on workshops and other groups in our community. Do you find that there's an increase in the community interest of people wanting to come along and get involved?
Yeah, there certainly is. Sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming because there's just so much interest in the community. People really want to get engaged, and particularly around this human rights focus that we've put at the front of our agenda as well. Everyone's looking at how to get engaged and, you know, where to go with these issues and concerns they have. And not only seminars, but we're also going to be doing some human rights training specifically for members of the community to make it even more targeted to mobilise Aboriginal people. And that's going to be coming up, and maybe in a few weeks I'll come back and talk about that a bit more.
I think also with the Rickadick seminar that's happening at the ALS, it's going to attract a lot of non-Aboriginal people perhaps working in the area of law and justice to actually look at the perspective of Aboriginal people and hear it firsthand of, you know, this is how it is affecting our people and how it continues to affect our communities, hey?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, through the Law Society's involvement, there'll be a lot of lawyers there as well. And there's a real lot of scope for people to appreciate the amazing work that the Aboriginal community have done in, you know, establishing things like this People's Campaign. And I think there's a lot that the legal profession can learn from Aboriginal advocates about their efforts to achieve reform and to put these issues on the agenda. So I think it's a really exciting time for some discussion about what we can all learn from this and move forward.
Now, I would suggest that if you're interested in coming along to this seminar, that you get in early. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interest. And if there is overwhelming interest, I guess we'll have to be looking at, you know, trying to find a larger venue. But if people just keep an eye out on our website, we'll make sure that if there is going to be a change in venue, we'll let you know. But at this stage, the 20-year commemoration of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody will take place on Wednesday, the 18th of May, starting at 12 midday, going until 2 o'clock. Lunch will be served. It's at the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Now, our head office is at number 7 Aberdeen Street, Perth. It's right next to the MacGyver Railway Station. Grab your pens. I'll give you a number if you want to find out more information and to register your place. In Perth, it's 9265 6953. Helen McCartney from the Law and Advocacy Unit will be more than happy to give you more information. And Sarani, what do you reckon people are going to get out of coming along to that seminar?
I think people will just be very inspired by the journey people like Helen Corbett have taken to put issues so important as deaths in custody on the political and national political agenda. We can all learn a lot from the campaign that she embarked on with other Aboriginal people and watch what other sort of insights she has to offer about where community and political initiatives have gone in the 20 years since then. And I think Helen is very keen to discuss with participants and that are attending just where people see this debate moving forward and how we can continue raising this issue on the national agenda.
Oh, it'll be a fantastic seminar, and we do encourage you to come along. That number again, 9265 6953. I note also, I'm looking at the Law Week program here for 2011, and under radio programs it's got into Tune Into Law Matters as well, because our next program after this one happens right in the middle of Law Matters just before that seminar takes place. So keep an eye on our website, www.als.org.au. I'm speaking with Sarani Gamble, who's a lawyer from the Aboriginal Legal Services Law and Advocacy Unit. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about another event that's happening during Law Week. And if you miss this program, or if you think, oh, look, a couple of months ago I heard this segment and I'd really like to hear it again, all of the interviews from Law Matters are put onto our Aboriginal Legal Service website at www.als.org.au. At the moment, I'm speaking with Sarani Gamble from the Law and Advocacy Unit of ALS about some significant events that are happening during Law Week, which is the 16th to 20th of May. We've told you about the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody seminar that's happening at the ALS Perth head office on Wednesday, the 18th of May. The following day, the 19th of May, there's going to be another meeting that you are more than welcome to come along to, and it's all about developing an Aboriginal human rights network. Tell us about this, Sarani, because I know that about a month ago there was a meeting, and I'm imagining this is following on from that one.
Yeah, Jodie, we're, as everyone would know, we're really doing a lot of human rights work, but very keen to have more Aboriginal people working in partnership with us. So when the opportunity arose to start planning an Aboriginal human rights network in Perth, we were very keen to get on board in providing support for this establishing network. So on Thursday, the 19th of May, we're having, it's a planning meeting, but we're keen to have more people involved in discussions about whether it's a committee, whether it's a steering group, or just what people would like to see out of an Aboriginal human rights network that is establishing. There's links into the National Indigenous Human Rights Network of Australia. There's talks about how we might facilitate some regional forums around human rights and link all this into an amazing resource through the Indigenous Human Rights Network. It's an online resource, so we'll be talking a little bit about that, and we'll link in to the national coordinator of that network, just to share some insights into how we might tap into that and expand on that, and also make it more relevant to Perth and people around Perth. And the other thing we'll be doing, which I'll be doing on behalf of ALS, is talking about some upcoming human rights training and how people can get involved in that. So there's a lot going on, but we need more local support, I guess, and local involvement, just to really make sure this is something that really reflects what the community are interested in and where they see it, you know, moving forward. And like we were just talking about a minute ago, there's so much interest in the community at the moment about human rights and justice issues. So how do we build on that? How do we engage people, mobilise them and provide something that carries people forward with the opportunity to, you know, speak up or do a little bit of voluntary work or something, you know, just to be involved. So we're really looking forward to that meeting on the 19th of May.
It's really exciting as well, isn't it, when you sort of, you're starting out something like this is the very starting of the planning to develop this Aboriginal human rights network. So it's groundbreaking stuff. I mean, human rights is something that affects us all. We live it every day. We experience it. We turn on our televisions. We see more breaches of human rights from all over the world. But in actually sort of getting that solidarity of forming groups to actually go out and do stuff about it is exciting, hey?
That's exactly right. And honestly, there are other groups doing similar sorts of things, and what we want to do is connect and engage and coordinate. We want to all work together on the same issues, so let's figure out a meaningful way to do that. And we've got representatives coming in from the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee, from other groups as well, that are going to talk about some of the things that they're doing. But this group is going to be focused on human rights, and we're going to learn from, you know, people like Helen Corbett have been involved in similar things like this in the past. You know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We just want to make it meaningful to right here and right now.
What are some of the more tangible benefits of people getting involved? I mean, they are going to have the opportunity to listen to people like Helen and representatives from the Watch Committee and from ALS. But in terms of somebody listening to this interview and going, yeah, I want to go, but, you know, how can I contribute? What am I going to get out of this, and why should I come along?
Well, what we are really interested in hearing from is what are the day-to-day concerns of people in the community. And sadly, we know that there are many, and this is an opportunity to raise those concerns. You know, the ALS is focused on justice issues, but what about health concerns? What about education concerns? And if you've got kids and you want to know about, you know, some issues have been happening at their school, and what are you going to do about it? These are sort of forums that you can come to and raise those concerns. Or, you know, there's a lot of racism going on, and, you know, what are we going to do about it? It's a way to mobilise. So we really need a broad spectrum of people involved to come and bring those ideas forward. There's opportunities to then receive training happening, if that's something that people want, but also just having that voice and having that solidarity, providing avenues for speaking out and working together in partnership at a local level, but also understanding how to link in at national levels, because there are a lot of opportunities in human rights engagement and, you know, to put voices through to the national government or different sorts of things like that. And these are all the kind of things that we can talk about, how to build campaigns, and it's really up to what the individuals want to get out of it themselves. And this is what we want to hear. As you said, it's very much at the early planning stages, and we're quite keen to hear from people what they would like to see this network achieve in the distant future.
And I'm glad you brought in an example like, you know, things that happen in the schoolyard, because it happens a lot where people are, you know, feel that they've been wrongly done by, you know, in a schoolyard scenario or in a workplace scenario, and that's all basic human rights, isn't it?
It certainly is. And look, calling the ALS is one thing, but being actually empowered to deal with those issues yourself is the most effective advocacy tool anyone could strive for. It's a community engaged, and that's what we are really looking at, you know, sort of enabling and empowering, you know, just everyday people to be able to come on and think, this is what happened in my life, and that's how it fits into this human rights context, and this is what I'm going to do about it. And those are the sorts of things that we'd really like to see.
Okay, now, so this workshop to develop the Aboriginal Human Rights Network is taking place on Thursday the 19th of May. This is going to be held at ADS, which is the Aboriginal Alcohol and Drug Service, just in behind Herbal Yerrigan there.
Yeah, just on Royal Street in East Perth.
Okay. Lunch is provided. Mm-hmm. It's from 12 till 2. If people want to find out more information, what should they do?
Again, contact me, Sarani, at the Aboriginal Legal Service. I'm coordinating all the RSVPs so we can manage how many people are coming, but we've got a big space there over at ADS, so numbers are limited because we've got to sort out the catering, of course, but, you know, we'd really like to see a big mob of people there. So you can either call me on 9265 6653, or you can send me an email, which is sgamble, all one word and lowercase, at als.org.au. But if you call up the ALS and ask to speak to Sarani or look on our website, the details will be there as well.
Fantastic. Sarani, thank you for popping into the program and letting us know about those two events that are happening during Law Week this year, which is between the 16th and the 20th of May. So we've got the Royal Commission seminar at the ALS on Wednesday the 18th of May, and we've got the Human Rights Planning Development at the Aboriginal Alcohol and Drug Service on Thursday the 19th of May. And, of course, our next Law Matters radio program happening during Law Week as well on the 18th of May. More human rights coming your way very soon on Law Matters when we talk with Tammy Solonek, who is very shortly off to New York. Thanks, Sarani.
Thanks, Jodie.
The Law Matters program brought to you fortnightly by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Strong focus on today's program on human rights, and hope those events that are happening during Law Week are of interest to you, and you can pop along to some of those. And the number again to find out more information on those is 9265 6953. Well, human rights right here in Perth to human rights in New York. A very interesting time to be in America. Tammy Solonek is heading over to New York at the end of next week. Tammy's the manager of the Law and Advocacy Unit at the ALS. And it is time again for the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. You would have heard us talking about this late last year and seen things that we'd written in our newsletters and all that. An incredible forum that took place in New York, and this is the follow-up forum 12 months later. Tammy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jodie. Thanks for having me.
You did go to New York last year.
Yeah, I did.
Give us a bit of an idea of what that is like to have so many people from all over the world attending in the name of human rights.
Oh, it's mind-blowing, actually, and they're all Indigenous delegates. I mean, there's some non-Indigenous, but the majority are Indigenous, and it's the biggest UN forum for Indigenous people, so there's, I don't know the exact numbers, but it seemed to me like there were thousands of people there. And just the logistics of seeing a meeting that big organised was phenomenal. And, you know, people come dressed in their traditional costumes and they do side events, so that occurs during the lunchtime breaks or sometimes in the afternoon. So you get to hear in detail about the issues that Indigenous peoples all around the world are facing, and it's fascinating.
So this is the 10th session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, and it's on from the 16th to the 27th of May in New York. Last year you attended courtesy of Oxfam as a youth representative for Oxfam. Tell us how you're going there this year.
This year I've been funded by the United Nations Voluntary Fund. So that was quite a process. We had to apply last year, and you have to be quite organised to get funding from the UN and get it done in advance. And I'm the only person from Australia that received that funding, so that's quite exciting. Everyone else that is attending, and we have quite a strong delegation attending, are either funded through their organisations themselves or through the Australian Human Rights Commission sends a number of people. Amnesty are sending 6 people this year, and Oxfam Youth Delegation is occurring again, so there's 5 going through that. So I'm not sure of the exact numbers of the delegation, but I think it'll be around 40.
Okay. So if you're the only delegate funded from Australia to attend New York as part of the UN Voluntary Fund, what are your responsibilities when you're actually in New York for that?
Well, I do have to go a day earlier, and there's a meeting for all the Voluntary Fund delegates to attend on the Sunday before, so I'll have to go to that. There's also some reporting obligations that come with that. And there'll be some meetings throughout the Permanent Forum with the other delegates. So that's a great experience. And last year, when I went to Geneva, I attended the United Nations UNITAR training on Indigenous peoples and peacekeepers, and that was quite similar. There was, only myself and Brian White, who were Australian, and the rest were Indigenous activists from around the world. So it's fantastic to build up those networks of other Indigenous people who are doing the same things we are, but all around the world.
And it's not something you just sort of rock up to and go, okay, here, 2 weeks of meeting. There's a lot of planning, obviously, that goes into something like this, not just here in Australia, but from delegates around the whole world who'll be attending. And you've just got back from Sydney, where there was training for how many people who are heading over to New York?
I think there was about 18 people who came to the training that we just did over the last 2 days. And most of those people were either the youth delegates, the amnesty delegates came, or people who had not been before and required preparation. So I was facilitating a bit of that, and Megan Davis was facilitating as well, and just really preparing them for what to expect over the 2 weeks. And I did the preparatory program with the diplomacy training program last year, and it was just so good. Once we got over there, we knew more than some of the leaders that have been doing it for a while, because we'd been so well prepared through the diplomacy training program.
Tell me about the buzz in the room. You said a lot of these 18 people have never been there before. What was the buzz like of people, anticipating, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in New York?
Yeah, it was a wonderful group of people. The solidarity between us was you could just feel it in the air. So it was great. A few of them had been before. Janine Gertz, for example, this will be her 3rd one. So it was really good to have some experienced people in the room as well. But it was very much a feeling of excitement about going to New York, but also about the importance of what we're doing. So in the preparatory program that we did, we really focused on the fact that they're there to work. They do have 1 week off, weekend off. And,
I thought you were going to say a week off.
No, 1 weekend, and we sort of encourage them to do their shopping and sightseeing and that on the weekend off, or go earlier and go later, because when we're there, the caucus meetings start at about 8 a.m. and then we have an Indigenous caucus meeting, followed by a Pacific caucus meeting, and then the UN procedures actually start at about 10 each day and run through until 6 p.m. at night. And then often at night we're still drafting interventions and we're working quite hard. So it's very full on while you're over there. And for people who haven't been to New York before, there's this tendency to go shopping and sightseeing and everything, but we're just trying to prepare them that that's not the reason they're there for. So I think they understood that. But there's time for play as well, but it's serious work.
Yeah, and time difference as well would take a few days to sort of get into. What is the time difference? If it's midday here, what time is it in New York?
It's midnight.
So exact 12 hours.
It's 12 hours from WA, 14 from the eastern coast.
Yep.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's a bit tricky because all the emails from work still keep coming in, but they come in while I'm asleep. So,
So if we get replies at 4 a.m. or something to emails, that's all. That's the only reason why. Tammy, as a lot of the people who were at the Permanent Forum last year coming back for the second year for this one?
Yeah. There are a number of established leaders in international law for Indigenous peoples in Australia who attend these things frequently, the most notable being Les Mauser. So Les, who's just been appointed as the co-chair of the National Congress, is a phenomenal international law advocate for Indigenous peoples. I mean, the man's brain is amazing. He has so much knowledge in there, and he often chairs our meetings. And if you follow Les around at an international forum, you'll find that everyone knows him, like the special rapporteurs and the really high up people. They're his really close friends, and he's just going from meeting to meeting to meeting. So Les is there. Brian Wyatt's been going for a long time. He represents the National Native Title National Native Title Council. He does most of our interventions on sort of mining and environmentalism, and we've got a half-day session on the right to water, so he's coordinating that. Aidan Ridgway will be there. He was there again last year. The New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council always has strong delegations and sends some of their committee members, so they'll be attending. And we're quite excited because this year, for the first time, the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service will be joining us. So their new CEO, Wayne Muir, will be going. And we'll also have Frank Lampard, who's the chair of the Aboriginal Legal Rights Movement, attending, and myself, and possibly Dennis. I think that's happening. So we'll have quite a strong coalition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander legal services there, and we're also doing a side event on the Royal Commission while we're there, so that should be good as well.
How empowering is it when, I mean, you're mentioning a lot of names that if you're moving, you know, from conference to conference and different activities throughout Australia, it's great to catch up with these people, but I imagine doing it abroad, it must be so exciting, seeing familiar faces in the middle of New York that you would normally maybe see in Perth or Melbourne or Sydney.
Yeah, no, it is exciting, and it's a really strong bond that we form between each other while we're over there. You know, two weeks working intensely with each other, and even though there's you know, thousands of people, Indigenous people from other places around the world, the Australian delegation really sticks together, and we're very much in solidarity with each other. So that's one of the issues we have, is that we need to actually talk to other Indigenous people, but we're so focused on what we're doing for Australia. So, you know, I've made really good friends with these established leaders because of that intense environment working with them, and it's great for the networks that build on as a result of that.
So you're representing the Aboriginal Legal Service when you're over in New York. What do you hope to get out of it, and what do you hope to contribute to it?
Well, we've already contributed a lot. So an intervention is a speech that you give that's sort of between 3 and 5 minutes long, based on the agenda items. So there's a really full-on two-week agenda. And ALS has already been involved in drafting a number of them. We have drafts up that have been sent to the IPO, which is the Indigenous Peoples Organisation Network. So we'll be involved in finalising them on the day. And there's other interventions that we've been involved in drafting and settling. And Australia also forms part of the Pacific Caucus. So when we get over there, although the Australian delegation is quite organised and we've done a lot of our interventions already, the Pacific Caucus, because we don't get to meet, is not so organised. So we'll be drafting them over there. So that'll be pretty busy.
Okay. So, well, no doubt we will hear from you when you get back from New York.
Yep.
But just in summing up, Tammy, why do you think that it is so important that delegates from Australia, Aboriginal people from Australia, can go abroad to attend functions like this?
The international area, in Australia, we very much are a minority. But when we form connections and solidarity with the other Indigenous peoples around the world, you know, we're a force to be reckoned with, and we've all faced similar issues all around the world. So when we come together and we say to the United Nations that we want change, we're heard. We're increasingly being heard. It took a long time for Indigenous issues to make their way onto the international agenda. Probably didn't really start until about 1980. And since then, it's been getting stronger and stronger. And, you know, a lot of the Indigenous stuff challenges sovereignty. It challenges the rule of countries and says, no, you know, we don't want to, well, we are part of this country, but we also have our distinct cultures and we have rights to our collective rights as Indigenous peoples. So I think it's really, really important that the Indigenous people of Australia recognise that we're not alone. You know, colonisation has affected Indigenous people all over the world, and we need to stand together in unity.
And to the policy makers and decision makers here in Australia, when they're finding out that the rest of the world is listening, is that going to have positive spin-offs?
It really does. You know, the international community is very interested in the position of Indigenous Australians. Australia puts itself out as having this great human rights record, but when you look at Indigenous people, that's not the case. And at all mechanisms, not so the Permanent Forum and the Expert Mechanism are Indigenous-specific mechanisms, but there's things like the Convention on the Rights of the Child and the Convention Against Torture and CEDAW, the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination of Women, and the Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, all those sort of main ones. Indigenous people have a big role to play in all of them. So we're trying to get a little bit more focus to work on a lot of the mainstream conventions, as well as the Permanent Forum and the Expert Mechanism.
Okay, well, good luck.
Thank you.
It's not far away. Heading off to New York on Friday of next week. The forum starts on the 16th of May and runs until the 27th of May. It's the 10th session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues in New York. Safe travels, and we look forward to hearing all about it when you get back from New York, Tammy.
Thanks, Jodie.
Tammy Solonek, Manager of the Aboriginal Legal Service Law and Advocacy Unit. Tammy won't be here for Law Week, unfortunately, nor will she be here when the Aboriginal Legal Service Executive Committee elections are taking place. And I'm going to come and tell you all about that very shortly here on Law Matters, going to let you know who the candidates are for all of the regions and how you can vote, when you can vote, and any other information you need to know. Stay tuned. This is Law Matters on 6NME Noongar Radio. Yeah, the great sound of Footprints from the Kimberley here in Western Australia and Broken Hearted Lady here on 100.9 FM. This is Noongar Radio and the Law Matters program brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA every fortnight on Wednesdays between 11 and midday and repeated Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. And if you miss both of them, you can check it out on our website a couple of days after we've gone to air, where all the programs are placed. So just go to our website, www.als.org.au, and you can hear any or all of our previous Law Matters programs. Okay, we're talking a lot about events that are happening during May. It's a busy, busy month. Part of this month also is the election of the Executive Committee for the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Now, the 2011 elections will take place between Monday, the 23rd of May, and Friday, the 27th of May. I want to let you know who the candidates are for the regions, and if you miss any of this information, it's also on our website. But the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA Executive Committee candidates for the central region are Lena Dale Anderson, Knee Penny, Michael Blurton, Jocelyn Eads, TAS, Murray Jones, Joseph Wallum, and Murray Yaron. Now, two of those people will be elected for the central region, and voting can happen between the 23rd and the 27th of May. If we cruise down south to the southern region, the candidates are Trevor Eads, Olivia Roberts and Arthur Slater. Once again, two of those will be elected for the southern region. For the Murchison-Gascoyne region, the candidates are Paul Barron, Clarence Cameron, Kathleen Musselin and Lorraine Whitby. For the East Kimberley region, the candidates are Trevor Bedford, John Green, Jim Lewis, two to be elected. And for the West Kimberley region, the candidates are Kevin George, Rosie Sahana and Kathleen Watson. Because of the largeness of a state like Western Australia, there is a whole range of places that you will be able to cast your vote between the 23rd and the 27th of May. It's too much information to give you on the program today, but if you log on to our website at www.als.org.au, on our front homepage, there is a big sign that draws your attention to the Aboriginal Legal Service elections. If you click on the link, it will provide you with those candidates' names again and every place that you can cast your vote between the 23rd and the 27th of May. There's going to be a lot of polling, mobile polling happening in some of the more remote areas of our state. Of course, Aboriginal Legal Services offices, you will no doubt know that you can cast your vote there. But in country areas, a whole lot of different places that you can be going, including some of the shire offices and different community centres and all of that. So check out our website for all of the specific information on how to vote. Now, the elections will be held in the central, southern, Murchison-Gascoyne, East Kimberley and West Kimberley regions. If you're going to do an absent vote, you can cast that at any polling place, okay? So absent votes can be cast at any polling place. And if you're not able to vote in person, so if you're not able to actually get to a polling booth for whatever reason, please do phone the number I'm going to give you in a moment to request a postal vote form from the Aboriginal Legal Service, because we obviously want you to cast your vote and vote in who you would like to represent your region on the Aboriginal Legal Service Executive Committee. The committee meets a few times each year and is representative of the communities who have voted them in. So it's really in your interest to cast your vote between the 23rd of May and the 27th of May. Website address again is www.als.org.au. All of the information is there. And over the coming days, we'll also be putting up the polling information for prisons as well, so that people on the inside can also have a vote. But keep an eye on our website, because it's being updated all of the time with more information on that. We're just about out of time today on Law Matters. Thank you, as always, for tuning into the program. And if you've missed any information, listen on Sunday night when the show is repeated, and check out our website as well. And just those events that are happening again during Law Week, don't forget the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody seminar at the Aboriginal Legal Service on Wednesday, the 18th of May, and the development of the Human Rights Network the following day, Thursday, the 19th of May, at the Aboriginal Alcohol and Drug Service in Perth. Our next program will come to you during Law Week on Wednesday, the 18th of May, so I hope you can join us for that. My guest in the studio that day will be Peter Collins, our Director of Legal Services for the Aboriginal Legal Service, and we'll be talking about a whole range of things that I'm sure are going to be of great interest to you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.